So now you want to come to camp, is that what you're saying? We could let you do a skit today if you'd like to. You want to do skits? You can do them here. Come on out.
Hey.
Whatever. We don't say no to help. We're very wise that way. Yeah. Just come on out. Okay, let's get started. We don't want to take too much of Robin's time away from her. Let's start by turning to, in our songbook, to page 62. And we're going to sing 1, 2, and 4. And pray, and then I'm going to introduce our speaker to you, okay? Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for your strength and your grace and just your many blessings to us. We're thankful for the Word of God rightly divided and clarity and simplicity of the gospel and just so many things in our lives, Lord, that sustain us, and we thank you for that and for this time together and for good leadership from godly men and women and that we can just take and glean from, and we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Robin Scott, where are you living these days? Because I don't really even know. We haven't really caught up lately, but I do know this, that anytime I've ever heard Robin speak, that she has a lot to bring as a member of the body of Christ, and especially for women. And we're just really thankful that you took time to come and do this, and we appreciate it. So, Robin Scott, come on up. Thank you.
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak. I'm basically a shy person, but when it comes to the word, I'm just ready and willing, and I just let the Lord just take over from there. If you hide the word in your heart, then he's got something to draw out to speak to other people. And so I have confidence in that. So I just go open my mouth boldly and just have what he wants me to do. And I hope that all of you find that same confidence in the Lord and his word. I'm nervous because I'm shy, but and I hope that I encourage other ladies to step up, no matter what you feel, to step up and and just share with what you know about the Word, because we need other godly women to be teachers. And don't let fear or intrepidation hold you back. Just be bold in the Lord. I'd like to open with prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your written word. We thank you for the power that we can find there. We thank you that in our weakness, your strength we can draw upon. We thank you for all that you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that by faith we'll just appropriate it and use it within our lives, that we can prove those things that you've given us. And we just pray that we'll allow those things to be resonant in our life, that others may see it and be drawn to the glorious light of the gospel. Help us to be bold in proclaiming your word and sharing it with others, that we might see souls saved and we might see the body of Christ edified and strengthened to go on and reproduce as you've called all of us into the ministry. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. My lesson today is going to be on our ministry with Paul's Our Pattern. I'm going about it in a roundabout way. Most of my lessons I don't do to teach people. I do for myself. I'm working through things to understand, and so as I'm doing it, I outline them, I write them down. I've got tablets and tablets of lessons I've done, and some I go back and I look 2 and 3 years later and I say, wow, I didn't really understand a lot there, and so I start making notes, but I keep them to remind me the growth that goes on as you study God's word, because it's important for us, and I think it encourages us to, as Woody used to say, journal. I don't necessarily journal. I do outlines of lessons I'm working on. So I would encourage you ladies to do it, because it encourages you as you see the growth through time of your understanding in the word, and that is so important for us to just continue in the word. And there's a lot of things that vie for our attention to pull us away from it. And that's part of what my lesson is today, about the heart and the mind. Turn to Philippians 4. And we're going to go through Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things, these are the things that have been presented above, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I used to think this passage was about when we were going through trials and tribulations and God needing to carry us through and comfort us. But as I've been studying this out this last several weeks, I began to notice that our hearts and minds can be troubled not just with tribulation. It can be with everyday stress that we're going through, with money problems, with the stress at work, with being overtired and overworked with children. I mean, it can be many things that are vying, and your heart and your mind is so tied together that if one veers off, it's going to pull the other. And I thought it was interesting that he starts out with hearts and minds, because our emotions can drag our mind off on all sorts of directions. And we women are emotionally based. And so it's very easy for us, for our emotions to get in gears, and our minds will quickly follow in all different directions. We can come up within 15 seconds of reasons why we can't do that or why we should be doing this. And we haven't really examined everything yet. And that's how closely our heart and minds are linked together. But God's peace is their resident always distill that. And so we should have that peace resident to stop that immediately and get them both linked and in gear with God's thinking. Because it should be the mind of Christ that is occupying our thoughts and should be what's steering us to the decisions we make in our finances and our everyday life, even at work. And I'd like to tell you about something that helped me to get through this. Was for 2 years I've worked with a man who has been very, very hard on me. And he's a coworker. And it was getting very stressful for me. And I had to ignore it and oversee it, and it just would get more, and it would got worse and worse, to where he told the supervisor, "I will not work beside this woman. Don't put us together in the same place. Don't team us up. I will not work with her." And I thought, I haven't done anything to this man other than he had interrupted when I was witnessing to somebody. And he said, no, don't listen to her. She's not telling you the truth, because you can't just be saved by trusting in the cross. You've got to be water baptized. You've got to follow in after Christ did. And I just said, you know, please, we can talk about this later. I'm talking with these people. And he said, no, they need to know you're deceiving them. So I had to stop right there, because the people I were talking to just suddenly were looking like, you know, what is this? You're both saying Christians, and you know what? So I had to stop. It never gave me an open door to these people again, unfortunately. But I think that was the wedge that started between me and this coworker. And I decided, Hal was preaching several weeks back, and he was talking about grace and all the attributes of grace and how we bestow grace even on those that, you know, are troubling with us. And I thought, you know, I've done everything but just pour out grace on this man. I mean, I've stayed out of his way, and I thought, I have done something incorrect. So I went about, and every time this man would start railing, I said, I apologize for whatever I've done to offend you, and please tell me so I can make amends, because I truly am sorry. And I really felt that in my heart. And at first he just looked at me and he said, you're crazy, and he marched off. But as time went on, I kept doing this, and he started to where he would get really quiet. Now this man has turned around and he's become a best friend. And it's not anything I did. That's the power of the word. I'd like to say that I've changed his thinking on the word, but he's at least given me some avenues to open my Bible, which stays on my desk, and say, what about this? Have you considered these passages? And he looks. A man who would not even work beside me or talk to me is now, and he'll come a lot of times. He came before we went on Christmas break, and he gave me a hug. And he said, I hope you have the very best Christmas you've ever had. So you just see the power of the word when you apply it. And sometimes we have to be reminded, you know, how to deal with other people, whether they be lost or whether they be saved. And ministry is not always easy. I can tell you, when I first got saved, I had a group of 5 girls. We used to get together every weekend, and we spent a lot of time together, and we were very close friends. When I got saved, I couldn't stop talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he'd done in my life. And they were all quiet, and nothing was ever said. They didn't want to look at the Bible when I brought it up. But one day, we were all planning to go to Chastain Park to listen to the music, which we usually did on Saturday. My best friend Laura met me out in the parking lot when I pulled up, and she said, Robin, if you're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, no, she said, if you're going to talk about that Jesus Christ, I would rather you don't come back. And it broke my heart. We spent a number of years together. And I said, Laura, I don't want to choose, but I love the Lord, and I can't stop talking about him. And she said, well, then I guess you need to just get in your car and don't come back and don't contact me again. And that was a heartbreaker to me. And I'm sure many of you can tell many stories too. I when I witnessed to my family. My sisters wouldn't talk to me for some time. And when I would call on the phone, if they heard my voice, they would hang up. And that was heartbreaking, not to have your own sisters want to talk to you. It took a number of years and writing letters and enclosing little gospel tracts and telling them how much I loved them and how much I wanted to spend not just this life, but all eternity with them. And it took almost 5 years till they decided that they all wanted to come down and see me. So we had a big house. They all came down, kids and all. We went out to dinner one evening, and Jerry said, we give thanks for our food, and we would like to give thanks. And they just all just linked hands, and I didn't even initiate that. They just linked hands, bowed their heads, and Jerry gave thanks for our food. As we were eating, Jerry began to talk about the gospel, and they were very receptive, and my youngest sister began to ask questions. And during that dinner, before we finished, all three of them got saved. So sometimes we can see the fruit of our ministry, sometimes we can't. And I'm encouraged from the things that I've seen through my years that I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that are going to come up and say, you planted the seed a long time ago. I'm the fruit. And I hope that encourages you. It encourages me to know that I don't have to do anything to produce that. It's God's job. I can just proclaim his gospel and not feel convicted that I didn't see something happen, because that's not my job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And that's the liberty we have in Christ, is to just proclaim his word and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. And I know in a lot of denominations, they try to force you to do that job. And that's just works. That's not what we're called to do. And so getting back to our lesson, it's our heart and our mind that affect our service. And so we want to keep those linked and want to keep them focused on the things above. Let's turn to Colossians 3:10. Let's start with Colossians 1 and 2 first. 3, 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And Colossians 10 through 15. And put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And all these things above, and it's by renewing our mind, allowing the word to be resonant in our mind, and appropriating that by faith, we can have the peace of God that will rule in our hearts. So those are the things that we need to keep in mind, and that's how we set our affections on things above, is by appropriating those things in our life that help us to live a godly life. That helps us to make the correct decisions, because it's supposed to be the mind of Christ that we have. And I'm sure many of you, you've seen as you've grown in the Lord, your decision making has changed. And I know for me it's changed drastically through the years. And it's because of the influence of the word. As Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you stand on is what you're going to base decisions in your life on. And so we need to have a tremendous intake of this word, and daily, because every day the same passages we've gone over, we will see new and more things and in depth. You can never stop. I don't care if you memorize this word. You can never stop learning from it. And so that's why we need a daily intake of it. That's why we need to study it daily and not just read it, study it out. I study out words to define meanings, because a lot of times what we think it means, there's a whole other depth to it. And let's turn to Romans 12:1 and get Philippians 2:1. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's by allowing the word to be resonant in us, taking it in daily, studying it, we allow that word to conform us. That new man is feeding on that word. We're renewing our mind. Our new man isn't renewed because he is made perfect the day that placed in us. But our mind is being renewed and is being fed to change the thinking, to conform to the thoughts of Christ, just as that we are being conformed into his image, so that our daily walk is aligning with the word. And that's what people are seeing, and that's what will draw them. It's like that light, the little song we teach the children, this little light of mine. If you hide it under a bushel, if we're conforming to the world, it's like that bushel over it. They're not seeing that light, that glorious gospel of the light that's resonant in us. But if we allow that light to shine, people are coming over and wanting to know, this job is stressful. Why are you so at peace? Why do you find joy in this? They're drawn to that. And you have an opportunity then to bring the gospel. There are a lot of people out there that are saved. And I'm surprised the people that I run into that are saved and in denominations. And that's all they have going for them, is that they're saved. And you have an opportunity to come alongside and say, what do you think about this verse? And you don't have to pounce on them. Let them come back to you and say, you have anything else like that? I've had it happen. You know, present them something that they're not used to seeing, and then show them another one and another one, and start feeding them. Let them see what it is that you're living on, that you're feeding on. Because they're inquisitive in the first place as to what is keeping you at peace, what is keeping you grounded. And so when they begin to see this, they're wanting more. So every little opportunity seize, as my husband says. And in Philippians 2, verses 1 through 16, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul was concerned, and he wanted to encourage those that he led to the Lord to continue in the word and continue to labor with fellow labormen, because he didn't want to see them fall by the wayside in his labor that he had spent so much time with them be in vain. And that's our call too. You know, just as Adam and Eve was born to reproduce and repopulate the earth, we are called to reproduce. And in 1 Timothy, it points that out, that we're to come along and teach others that they may teach others. God doesn't want us to be barren. He wants us to reproduce, and he wants us to do it with Pauline doctrine. And so we need to be strong, and we need to stand and hold forth that word of life, because we have it. And as one of the other brethren pointed out, we're not undercover agents. We're called out there to be bold and to speak boldly. It's all a mindset of the servant, as the passage was pointing out, is Christ was a servant. And Paul calls himself a servant of Christ, a prisoner of Christ. And we are the same. It's Christ died for us. It's his life that lives in us. We were purchased. We're bought with a price. And so we are prisoners of Christ. But it's not as a prison that's chained. It's a willing prisoner, just like a willing bond slave. We're servants to serve him because of the love he extended to us and the grace. And we need to stay in the word so that we can effectively give it out to others. In 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, let's turn there. You know, the heart of a servant is always seeking to serve his master, and his attitude is always one of service to please his master. And so as we, as servants of Christ, are called to be faithful, and so as a faithful servant, we need to know what the will of our Father is, and that's what we need to be doing. And it, as one of the other preachers has pointed out, it's very clear, it's laid out very clearly in 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Father, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. And it's our job, because we have the truth, to come along in meekness and lowliness, to not be browbeating somebody or to try to pressure them. Because, you know, we always think as the first gift that God gave was the gift of his son. But, you know, God gave something before that. He gave free will. And he will not violate that, because he wants us to come to him and serve him in love. And he will not force us. And we have no right to force others. We need to respect that free will that God has given every individual, whether they want to believe or not believe. And we need to be courteous, and we need to be kind, and we need to present it in a gentle fashion. There's a motto we have in BMEU, and when I first saw it, my heart leaped, because I thought that is the best motto for a Christian today. It says, people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I have written that down, and I think that is the best thing. We need to show people, lost or saved, we love them. And it should be a genuine love. If you're in Christ, the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. And that love is resonant in us, not to heap upon ourselves, but to shed out to the world. And so we need to give that love out to others. We need to let them know that we love them and that Christ loved them so much he died for them. We need to be bold in proclaiming that, but we need to be gentle in our approach to them. In going back to let's go back to our original one, Philippians 4. And I'd like to take notice when Paul was declaring here, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall keep you. These things he's listing above, whatsoever things are just or true or honest or just or pure or lovely or of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I looked up each and every one of these, not just in definition, but in how they were used in context of Scripture. And I would encourage you to do the same, because it paints a picture that is tremendous. When I look at this, all of the definitions have in common some very words that will astound you. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue. All of these have in common faithfulness, sincerity, pure, true, truthfulness, honor. And you know what? All those attributes are the attributes of our Savior. And yet, I look at those, and I look at the context in which Paul has laid them out in the Pauline epistles, and those attributes are supposed to be ours. That's what people are supposed to see when they look at us. They're supposed to see faithfulness, sincerity, pureness of heart, truth, honor. So we need to understand Paul is saying those things above. They're important for us to know, to understand, to be a part of our life. They were a part of Paul's life. He stood for him even if it meant that they took him outside the city and stoned him. And that we may never face that, or we may, but we need to stand. We need to allow those to be resident in our life. And they can't be feigned. They've got to be real or they won't last. And the only way they'll be real is that we build up this new man. We renew our minds daily, study out the word so that it is resident in our life. Because Paul is our pattern and he's the one that we should be following, because he's following Christ. And we're to follow Paul as he follows Christ. Our identity is resident, or is the root for which our attitude of service comes. And so we need to remember how we serve Christ. Our identity in Christ is what will affect our attitude, our heart, and our mind. And in Colossians 2:10 through 15, it declares we're complete in Christ. There's nothing we're lacking. And if we're not lacking, then we need to go on. We need to go on with Christ. And 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, let's look at that. Second Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. There's nothing that we lack. God's supplied it all, and we need to appropriate it. Unfortunately, you know, when I was coming into the grace message and I was hearing this liberty in Christ, and it was something that I'd heard and seen in the scriptures, but I didn't understand it. Where is the liberty in Christ? Because I was under the law and constantly berated that I didn't match up. I wasn't performing this well. I didn't do that well. And I was exhausting myself. But in the grace message, I finally saw the liberty of Christ. But as I was going on and studying, and I kept hearing the word appropriate this, appropriate that, I kept thinking, how do I appropriate it? I'm trying to take it, How do I make it? It becomes very clear when you go to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So let's turn there. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Grace has given us everything. Faith is the vehicle in which we appropriate all that grace has laid out for us. And grace has equipped us. God's word's equipped us. And until we, by faith, say, I believe that scripture, my life is going to be based on that, we don't appropriate that. It won't fully function in our lives. And a lot of times, just saying, I believe that, if we study it out, if we follow the roots of it, and we understand it fully, we'll appropriate it. Because when you just hear something, but you haven't studied it out, you don't fully understand it, you will not fully live by that. You will not take it by faith. I've learned that in my own life. I've got to take the lessons that these men impart, and I've got to study it out. They do a great job preaching, but until I dig in there and I study it out, look at the rest of the scriptures that embolden it, to help me really see, it doesn't become resident in me. We've all got to take our time to study and look at these things. Because just saying, I believe it, in the denominational church I come from, they used to say, God said it, I believe it, you know. That sounds great, and it really does. But have you studied it out so that you believe it? Because there's so many Bibles out there, and they all change the word, and they change the meaning. So it's not enough that, hey, this Bible said it, I believe it. No, it's, does it line up with Pauline doctrine? So we've got to study that out. And in closing, I'd like to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Even in getting up here today, I had to take time to just look at this again before I came down here. This is always because my heart races and my mind always starts all the time. You can't do this. You can't do this. But I always go there and I say, faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. It's Christ's life that lives in me. I'm dead. So I should not have these qualms, and I will not listen to them. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. His life. You just step forward and allow Christ to do it. And he will. You'll find that when you open your mouth, something else takes over. It's the power of the word. So just allow yourself to just stand for him. I like the scripture where it says, having done all, therefore stand. You don't have to stand in your might. I don't have any. But I can stand in Christ. And that's what we need to do. Remember that our identity is all tied up in our ministry. And we need to stand as who we are in Christ, ambassadors. And we have a standing that God will do it all through us if we'll just stand. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all that you've given us in Christ. We thank you that we can rely on you when we are weak, and your strength will carry us. We can rely on you that even when we're intrepid, that you will take over and allow your word to do the work. I know that your word has all the power. My words do not. And so it's important for me to know the words and the correct doctrine to present to people. I just thank you for the word completed. I thank you for our Apostle Paul. And I thank you that we have like-minded people that we can gather together to encourage and encourage us. And we just give you the praise and thanks, for it's in the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, that's all I have, ladies. And I want to encourage you, be bold in the Lord. Think about standing up and presenting the word. We need other women to encourage other women, other voices. And we need more godly women that will take up the reins.